Each week at Grace Bible Church, all the Christians who are gathered here pause in our service to take the Lord's Supper together. So I know that we have a lot of visitors here today, and we're so glad that you're here. So let me take a second to explain what's going to be going on in the next few minutes. The night before Jesus died, he was with all of his disciples eating the Passover dinner. And he gave his disciples bread. After he gave thanks and broke it, and he said, "Take, eat. This is my body." And he did the same with a cup of wine. "This is my blood." So Jesus gave them some wine, and he told them that this is his blood. So you see, after 3 years of being with his followers, they were there with him every day. They could see him. It was difficult to forget Jesus, who was performing miracles, teaching them, and always in their presence. But after 3 years, Jesus was about to give himself up as a sacrifice for sins, to die on a cross, rise from the dead, and then ascend to his Father. And wait till he returns. So there's nothing magical in this bread and juice, but it does remind us of Jesus, who he is and what he's done for us. Jesus explained that eating and drinking of the Lord's Supper is a time of remembrance. So as we hold the physical piece of bread in our hands, we recall that God took on a physical body. When you crunch the bread between your teeth as you eat, Christians remember that the Father crushed his Son in our place. We take a cup of red grape juice. This directs us to remember Jesus' blood spilt for us. As the juice flows across your lips, down your throat, remember Jesus' blood that flowed from his nail-pierced hands, his feet, and the gaping wound in his side. Blood that God declares paid for our sins and made righteous all who would believe. We must remember Jesus, his body and his blood. So this is a time for all Christians. It's not something special for Grace Bible Church. If you're a member here, regular attender, or a Christian who's visiting, maybe even your first time, please take communion with us. If you have saving faith, if you've turned from your sins, take the bread and juice with us in remembrance of Jesus. But if you're not a Christian, if you don't know what we're talking about, or if you just don't believe, let the bread and juice pass. But today you're going to hear a lot about the gospel. Gospel means good news. And it's the good news that I'm going to be proclaiming for the next few minutes. It's the good news that you'll hear has changed the lives of those who are going to be baptized. It's good news that sinners, people who've rejected God, and that's all of mankind, people that even at our best are only deserving of God's punishment. It's good news that those people can be saved. It's good news that Jesus, God himself, took that sin, that weight of sin, on himself. God can't ignore sin, but God punished sin on his Son. And that's good news because that brings us life. Even better than that, it brings us God himself. So if you're not a Christian, I pray that you would hear this message and believe. Please don't leave today without at least understanding what we're talking about. But if not, please let the bread and juice pass. So now, before we take the bread and juice, please open your Bibles up to Matthew. Matthew chapter 27. We're going to start in verse 45 and just read this together. We'll let Matthew guide us as we remember Jesus and what he did for us with his body and blood the day after he instituted the Lord's Supper. Matthew 27, verse 45. Let's read together. Now, from the sixth hour, it's midday, there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani. That is, my God, why have you forsaken me? Consider in the midday darkness, God the Son was experiencing the abandonment of God the Father. The triune God had been an incomprehensible unity since eternity past. And now somehow, in some sense, in a way that I don't understand, God was separated from God. The Bible says that Jesus became sin on our behalf. And as our sin was placed on him, God the Father, the Holy One, could not even look on. Indeed, he forsook and punished the sin-bearing God the Son. The only words that Matthew records of Jesus as he hung on the cross are these: my God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus wasn't punished. He wasn't forsaken for his own sin. But as he cried out, it was my sin, it was your sin that he was bearing. The Father forsook the Son because, as Isaiah 53:5 says, because of our transgressions and iniquities. He died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, 1 Corinthians 15:3. He who knew no sin became sin on our behalf, 2 Corinthians 5:21. Jesus became a curse for us, Galatians 3:13. And Jesus bore our sins in his body on the tree, 1 Peter 3. If we were pinned under a great weight, we could know how heavy that weight was by the force it took to lift it. If you were under a great debt, you would understand the price of that debt by the cost that was necessary to redeem you from it. If you were stuck at the bottom of a great pit, you could know how deep that pit was, how hard it would be to get out by the length of the rope to rescue you. So it is with sin. We can understand the weight, the cost, and the depth of our depravity only when we consider the cost that it took to remove it from us. And even better than that, we can understand God's love, his compassion, his grace, when we consider the cost that he paid to reconcile us to him. So we begin to understand what happened at the cross when we hear sin-bearing Jesus cry out in the agony of rejection, asking the question that he already knew the answer to: why have you forsaken me? What would God answer? What would God answer? Jesus talked to God often, and there was an answer. But here, he heard just the mocking voices of the ignorant crowd for whom he was dying. Verse 47, some of the bystanders, hearing it, said, "This man is calling Elijah." And one of them ran at once and took a sponge, filled it with sour wine, put it on a reed, and gave it to him to drink. But the others said, "Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to save him." Jesus cried out to his Father, and the only response he heard was the ignorant mocking of the crowd. And then, verse 50, Jesus cried out with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. And then, with Jesus' atoning death complete, the answer from God the Father to Jesus' question, why, comes. Look down, verse 51. And look, behold, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook, the rocks were split. The temple veil, that curtain that separated the Holy of Holies from everyone else, God's presence from his people, that curtain that was forever to be a reminder, you can't get to God. That curtain, God the Father tore top to bottom. He ripped it in two. The separation between God and his people was removed. Jesus' body crushed and blood spilt had done what no amount of God's works or sacrifices could ever accomplish. Access to God. Look down, verse 52. The tombs also were open, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. Coming out of the tombs after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. So the second answer to Jesus' question, why, came as massive earthquakes broke open the tombs. God demonstrated that Jesus' death conquered death. Jesus rose, and a few saints were able to experience what all saints will one day know. First Thessalonians 4:16 says that all the dead in Christ shall rise. But when Jesus died and then was raised here in Matthew, he not only reconciled those who would believe to God, he conquered death. And because of Jesus' death and resurrection, that's what we're going to remember with the bread and juice. By grace, through faith, we shall all be alive in the Lord's presence for eternity. Death will not have the final word. So just like the centurion declared in the next verse, truly this was the Son of God. He declared that with awe. I pray that as you get the bread, juice, remember Jesus' body, his blood, our hearts would be in awe at the Son of God who died to redeem us, reconciled us to God, conquered death. If you don't believe, oh, just trust in this good news. Trust in the one who died. If he has already saved you, rejoice, remember, and proclaim his death together. Men, please serve us. Take communion on your own.